All right. Welcome to Coffee with Marcus and Mark. Today it's just Mark, the number one stock market update and show on Spotify and one of the most popular market updates on YouTube. In the show, we talk about what's happening in the markets and how we are trading them. Today is Wednesday, January 24th. The S&P making new records again. U.S. manufacturing at its highest in 15 months. Netflix and their blockbuster earnings. DD gets hammered and no fear in the market. Plus, did I sell calls on UPS? Another WTF win. And what could we expect from Tesla earnings? As you can see, there's a lot to talk about. So let's go ahead and get started. Now, if this is your first time here, my name is Mark Hodge. I'm head coach at Rockwell Trading. And we trade the markets, talk the markets, and are here to help other traders. So let's go ahead and jump on over to the charts, see what's going on. We see that the S&P just cannot be stopped right now. Look at this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 winning sessions in a row, making new all-time highs again. We were looking at the 4,800 level being the next big move and target here, getting above that. And all of a sudden, we're approaching 4,900. Today, we got above that, 4,901 hits. Right now, at 4,897. Big, big day for the S&P, up 0.7%. Now, the Dow also higher for the session, although lagging a little bit, up only 0.3%. And the NASDAQ leading the way, up 1.1%. And the NASDAQ still has a little bit to go before getting to its all-time high set in November of 2021. But just a nice, nice run for the S&P. And right now, looks like traders are loving the markets and seeing equities go up and up. Now, a lot of this was driven by Netflix. But before we take a look at Netflix, let's talk about just some economic data that came out today. And let's go over to PowerX Optimizer. Look at the economic calendar. We see flash manufacturing PMI coming out higher, flash services PMI coming out higher. And this is where the S&P, or sorry, manufacturing hit its highest levels in 15 months for January. Services outperformed, as well as we see coming in higher than forecast. The Flash Purchase Managers Index, that's a flash manufacturing PMI reading, came in at 50.3. This represents the percentage of companies seeing expansion, and it was expected to come in at 47.6. So this just continues to show that the economy is resilient. The flash PMI, the services PMI, 52.9. This is a seven-month high, and also better than expected. So also there was some news that companies increased selling prices at the slowest pace since May of 2020. So this data propelled the market a little bit, also some positive earnings. In fact, of the S&P 500 companies reporting earnings so far, 16% of the S&P 500 have reported, and over 71% have beat Wall Street expectations. This is according to FactSet. So far, earnings looking pretty good. And we need to talk about Netflix here, because Netflix, just a big, big move. And let's see here. We are up 12.4%. I actually want to pop over to the wheel side. I like the WTF analyzer is great for finding new trades, but I like the way the charts look a little bit better on the wheel side. So here we see just a nice big move, breaking through 500, and right now not looking back, opening higher and continuing to rally up 12.5% right now. This comes after subscriber growth totally beat expectations. So Netflix said that they added 13.1 million subscribers during the quarter, and also saw a record 260.8 million in paid subscribers. They also beat earnings revenue. So did better on the revenue side. This subscriber growth is just huge for Netflix, and traders are rewarding the company by buying more stock. So Netflix up big. Now, on the opposite side of things, we have DuPont and DD here, the ticker, just getting hammered here. We see that coming off of session lows, but just a nasty day for DuPont, down 13%. Now, you would think that this was an earnings move with this type of reaction to the market, but earnings are still coming up. So this was actually because of some guidance that was shared. It was a pre-announcement. So fourth quarter and first quarter guidance was a big disappointment. They guided for their fourth quarter revenue of $2.9 billion. And according to FactSet, the estimate was $3 billion. The first quarter adjusted earnings guidance was between 63 and 65 cents, and the expectation was 88 cents. So pretty big difference there. First quarter revenue, they said they guided at $2.8 billion, which was lower than the over $3 billion that was expected by analysts. So they basically came out before earnings and said, hey, things suck, right? We weren't anywhere near where we wanted to be. And if this was after earnings, I mean, because we could still could see a move higher, we could still see a move lower. I think there was a downgrade because of this. In general, this is a one of those companies that tends to move in ranges, and we see that there's some support back here in May of 2023. Div yield beats the S&P average, not super high there, but decent. And chart-wise, it's not too bad. It's not too bad. But again, with earnings still on the horizon, this would be something that I would choose not to trade into earnings if this was or is an overreaction. We'll have to see. This is another one, too, that also has a higher PE ratio of 38. So not trading this one, but interesting to see this drop right down to the support level. And we see here that on the wheel scanner, the 63 strike is available. Some nice premium here, and this would give you a cushion down 3% if you went with the 63, 2% if you went with the 64. This drop in percent shows the difference between the current stock price and the strike price, and if you're selling a put, this is where you would be the owner of shares if that put was exercised and if the stock was trading below this strike. So I'm not trading this one, but Interesting chart. And no matter what, the takeaway here is DuPont getting hammered today. Now let's go ahead and take a look at some trades that we are in, and then also take a look at Tesla earnings here. So let's start with CSIQ. CSIQ all over the place. Yesterday, it had a big jump and then rallied. We talked about it in the video yesterday, and it came back down and actually ended the day a decent level there. I mean, you can't complain with a 14% gain, even if you were higher throughout the session. Today, gapped higher and rallied early on, but now down 1.4%. So pulling back a little bit, just below $24 a share. My new cost basis is $29.91. My break even is $29.25. So I'm not selling calls. When I looked early on this rally, it looked like we might be able to get 30% annualized at the 27 or 28 level. This to me isn't what I want to do. I think that once we see yields pulling back a little bit more, and with this investment and kind of a new interest in solar after just getting beaten up in the second half of 2023, I still think that we could break through these highs and get to these levels that I want to be at in order to make some money on this one. So sitting tight, nothing for me to do, and CSIQ right now all over the place. NEE also off to a strong start early today, and then it's pulled back, now just slightly negative for the session. NEE earnings coming up here. So one day away, coming out tomorrow before the bell. We'll have to see what the reaction looks like. At this point, I'm holding, nothing for me to do with any E. Marcus is in the same situation. Oxy, we'll have to see what's going on with Oxy, because those calls that we sold are now in the money. We were assigned Oxy at 57. I think Oxy, solid stock. The Buffett effect is real. The investment from Berkshire Hathaway helps propel Oxy at times when it pulls back to these levels, because many times they're still buying, right? And then they declare that they bought shares at 57 or 56 or whatever it is, and then traders get excited about that again. I think Oxy's solid. And we'll have to see where we end up at the end of the week. We have sold 57 calls, or I've sold 57 calls against my shares. Right now, those are in the money. To be honest, I do not think that Marcus has sold calls yet. I know that he was targeting the 58, hoping that he could get that. But with Oxy moving up from where we were at Friday and Monday, but not with a whole lot of volatility and enthusiasm, there just isn't the premium at the 58 level. We'll see if he sells the 57, which is slightly in the money. But right now, I do not believe that Marcus has sold calls. And I've sold those 57s and happy with it. UPS. So did I sell calls against my UPS shares? Talked about this yesterday and how there was some decent premium, not in this Friday's expiration, but next Friday's expiration. And that is because on January 30th, next week, UPS reports before the bell. So elevated premium on those 165 calls. That's my cost basis. That's where I own shares at. And I was able to get about 50% annualized, getting $2.50 if I pulled the trigger. And I did. I was also looking at maybe the 167.50. With the 167.50, you have the potential to make some money on the increase from the cost basis on up. But you don't get as much premium when you sell those calls. And I went with the guarantee, right? One in the hand versus two in the bush. This is where there hasn't been an opportunity for me to sell calls since December. I wanted to take advantage of that. We see here that if we look at the expected move, which is considering option prices for next Friday's expiration, that the expected move based on options prices is somewhere between 151.25 on the downside, 167.37 on the upside. So essentially, this is one standard deviation. So 68% of the time, the idea is that we will stay between these levels. So getting above 167.44, are we 16% chance we'll be above that, 16% chance we'll be below 151? We'll have to see. But I went with the 165. I'm comfortable there. Like the premium, that brings down my break even another $2.50. So it's not factored in right now because it's not realized gain. Once it gets realized, this break even will change. But right now, my cost basis 165, my break even 161.06, and I sold those 250s, or I sold those 165s for 250. And we'll have to see how UPS reacts to earnings. Now, moving on over to the WTF strategy. Another day, another win. Banks moving higher, looking pretty good. Let me go over here to the S&P 100, which is an index that we like to scan for WTF trades. And the two open right now would be CVS. A really nice day today, but giving back those early gains. Opened at 75.99, almost 76, and rallied to 76.60. Now trading at 75.19, just slightly higher for the day. So this was looking real good today. We might have an exit tomorrow at the open. Right now, this is the only loss potentially, because we're still in the trade, that we have seen over, I don't know, maybe the last 10 trades. So pulled back, rallied, and we'll see what tomorrow brings. Now, Schwab, on the other hand, still looking solid. We got in at 60.93, could have an exit tomorrow at the open. We'll have to look to see if there's an exit signal according to the strategy rules. And here we see that Schwab up 0.3%. So nice move since the entry at 60.93, up a couple bucks in a couple of days. And we also had an exit today. So bye-bye, Morgan Stanley. Morgan Stanley, great trade here. Entry at 84.85. Pulled back a little bit more before rallying. Saw some support around that 200-day moving average. Today, gapping higher and actually continuing its move. 87.32 was the open. And I was going to look at this and double check the number, but I think I actually got filled like 82.56. So, no, I'm sorry, 87.56, I think it was. So either way, I got filled better than that open at 87.32. I think it was 87.56. And from the entry at 84.85, not too bad. Couple bucks in a couple of days. Nice trade here. And now, right now, just have CVS and Schwab open, waiting to see if we have exits for tomorrow. So WTF working out nicely. Fun little side strategy to the wheel. And it's performing just like we would expect it to. So that's looking good. Let's go on over to our earnings analysis tab. And let's take a look at the calendar here, because we still have some big names reporting this week. And it gets even busier next week. Tomorrow before the bell, we have some bigger names like Abbott Laboratories, AT&T, General Dynamics. You see some others, Kimberly-Clark. However, the real biggie, I'm sorry, not tomorrow. What am I saying? let's rewind. I meant to be looking at after the bell, because it's all about Tesla today, right? Tomorrow before the bell and after, there's still some big names. But today, it's Tesla, it's IBM. Those two are the bigger ones that are in the spotlight. LVS, Las Vegas Sands, another one, CSX. You see that we do have a couple of big ones reporting, but let's take a look at Tesla. So Tesla right now, what can we expect from earnings? We know that anything can happen, right? But at least based on the last 12 quarters, Tesla has a tendency to beat, right? So they report better than expected numbers. This is to be expected. Maybe it's different tomorrow or after the bell, that is. But what I'm really looking at and curious about is, how do they react? How's the overnight reaction? And also what to expect on the seventh day, right? What does the data say? And again, anything can happen. But if we look here, it definitely looks like there is a little bit of a bias to the downside, at least over the last 12 quarters. 4 times the reaction was positive. 8 times the reaction was negative. And on average, there was a 6% gain. On average, there was a 4% loss on those down times. Now, the seventh day, a little more of a coin toss, but still, downside seems to be the more likely thing that we've realized on the seventh day, at least based on the last 12 quarters. On the upside, if there is a positive reaction, it tends to be double what the average is for a lower move. After 7 days after earnings, Tesla on average is up 18% if there's a positive move, down almost 8% if there's a negative move. Last few quarters, it's been a little tricky for, let's actually slide all the way over here. Yeah, last 3 quarters, it's been a little tricky for Tesla. Last quarter, the reaction, 9% change on that 1 day move. And it got worse, getting down to 14.5% on the seventh day. The reaction the 2 quarters prior, really, it wasn't as bad after that initial reaction, right? So a little bit better on the seventh day compared to that initial reaction. A little bit better on the seventh day here compared to that initial reaction. Last blockbuster earnings came January 25th of 2023. Can there be a repeat? We'll see. when there was a nice big positive reaction, 11% on that 1 day reaction, and up 31% on the seventh day. Can Tesla have a repeat of what was experienced a year ago, or are we going to see the averages play out and a downside move? We'll have to see. That this to me, I don't see a real trend either way, but bottom line, Tesla traders are going to be keeping an eye on Tesla after the bell. As far as the expected move goes, pricing in a 6.4% move to the upside, 6.4% move to the downside. So 2024 on the higher end being one standard deviation, or let's say 197 to 224 would be the one standard deviation move that is most likely to take place. And we just have to see where we end up. But interesting to see these bigger moves in Tesla, and definitely something to keep an eye on. Looking at the economic calendar too, tomorrow, pre-market, advanced GDP, unemployment claims. This, I think, could be a potential market mover if there's a surprise core PCE on Friday. So a few things to look forward to. We'll see if this move higher in the S&P can come to a halt. 4,900 is the next big target now, and 5,000 S&P, not too far away. Can earnings season and positive reactions move the S&P up to 5,000? Earnings season is not over yet. We also have the Fed at the end of the month. That's going to do it for today's stock market update. If you like this video, we like. So please like this video. If you think that a friend can benefit from these updates, please share it. And if you're new to the channel, please subscribe, and we will see you next time. Until tomorrow, happy trading, everybody.